If you remember from past sermons, when we spoke about the liturgical year, you know that Lent was obviously a time of preparation for Easter and the glorious resurrection of our blessed Savior. However, it was truly and practically speaking, it was a preparation of the public penitence to be restored back to the sacraments, where they would, after 40 days of very severe penance, they would go to confession and finally be permitted to receive Holy Communion again on Holy Thursday. But then also, it was a long preparation for the baptism of converts, which was done on Holy Saturday. And so you see, Father Le Taranto was here and did the whole long ceremony of the blessing of baptismal water. Well, ordinarily, baptisms would be done as soon as the water was blessed. Then the long line of neophytes would come in and be baptized one after another. Well, all this week, Easter week, way back, centuries ago, they don't do it anymore, but the ones who were baptized on Holy Saturday would receive their white garment, as we still give to the little children when they're baptized. But they receive a white long robe, a white garment, and they wear it for the entire Easter week. And they put it off either this Saturday or Sunday is when they would finally put it off. And so all, just as during Lent, there were all of these special masses, special gospels and epistles that explain to the ones to be baptized and the public penitents, they explained a certain lesson. Well, now even during this Easter week, the church continues through her liturgy to speak to the neophytes, the ones that were just baptized. So as I said, there are many lessons here. And I'll read to you the introit from today's Mass. It gives a little thought, and then the epistle after that. And the epistle, or the introit rather, it says, "The Lord hath brought them forth in hope, alleluia, and the sea hath covered their enemies, alleluia, alleluia." Now what does this sea, this water, mean or stand for, except for the waters of baptism? You see, it refers obviously first and foremost to the Israelites' passage through the Red Sea when they were being chased by their enemies and were about to be put to death. And then the waters just divide. And they say that the Red Seas were lifted, or gifted rather, with the power of delivering the Israelites. They were gifted with that power. And so it was a symbol of the saving powers of the waters of baptism. Just as, and then the epistle comes, I'll read that to you too, for those of you that perhaps couldn't read it because you're serving. It's a very beautiful epistle. And it's the epistle of St. Peter the Apostle. "Dearly beloved, Christ died once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might offer us to God, being put to death indeed in the flesh, but enlivened in the spirit, in which also coming he preached to those spirits that were in prison, which had been some time incredulous, when they waited for the patience of God in the days of Noah when the ark was a-building, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, whereunto baptism, being of the like form, now saveth you also, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the examination of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is on the right hand of God." St. Peter is there speaking to the neophytes once again about the waters of baptism. He tells first and foremost that our Lord went to visit the prisoners. Who's he speaking about? Well, after our Lord was put in the tomb, remember, his soul descended into limbo. So he goes to visit the prisoners who are there waiting in limbo for the opening of the gates of paradise. And St. Peter in this epistle, he tells us something that not many of us ever stop to think about. He says, excuse me. He says that among the souls that are present in the limbo of the fathers there, were some who had perished in the flood, who had been killed by the waters of the flood. They found salvation, it is said, in the waters that flooded the world. That's a beautiful, very beautiful thought, and obviously it is an analogy to baptism. But St. Peter says that these men who are saved in the waters, though they perished in them, they were at first incredulous. They didn't believe, and they despised all of the threats of Noah when he prophesied the coming punishment of God and said that they had better do penance. They wouldn't believe. And then the floods came, all the rain and the floods, and as the water swept them up, it says that as they were in the water, they repented and were forgiven. They received pardon before their death, but they were saved by the waters. It's a very beautiful thought for this holy season of Easter. And of course, he says that St. Peter then talks about the eight that were saved on the boat. He says they're a symbol of the neophytes who passed through the waters of the font, the baptismal font. So, and then St. Peter concludes by saying that baptism is not like any other washing of the body. It cleanses, it purifies the soul as the water flows across the forehead. And as long as the man is sincere in his conversion and making the vows that he makes at the font to be faithful to our Lord and to renounce Satan and all that is his, that it does indeed cleanse the soul. So as we consider through this week of Easter, we consider our own baptisms, we should say prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving to God for our baptism, that at one point or another, all of us went through those waters, and our souls were purified of original sin, and if we were baptized as adults, of all actual sins as well. The gates of heaven swung open for us, and we became the adopted sons of God. That in itself is a thought to consider during these days of Easter. But one last thought. We all picture the white garments, the baptismal gown. Well, obviously, we're not wearing it externally, but interiorly, we should always be wearing it. And we live in the world, in a world that is just contaminated with filth and sin. We're going to pick up some dust and some filth, the filth of sin, and it's going to adhere to our white garments. We have to make them clean again, wash those garments through the sacrament of penance, and then as well through Holy Communion, which of course, remember, when devoutly received, does indeed forgive our venial sins. But one other thing that I suggest, it comes from the Gospel, the end of the Gospel today. Our Lord says, "Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." This refers, of course, to the indefectibility of the Church. It can also refer to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. He is a friend of ours that remains there always. I'll end, finally, by a story on this point. There was once a very elderly priest, and he once told this story of how he received his parish. He had a small parish of about 200 souls, and the day that he was installed as the parish priest there, it says that many of the parishioners and some of his friends came from the parish where he was just the assistant, and they stayed there for quite a while that day visiting with him, and in the evening they all went away. And it says that the new parish priest walks into the church, his new church, and kneels down, and he says, "Now, Lord, what do we do?" And he says, he almost hears a voice of our Lord saying, "Well, up to now, you've had all these friends and all these people to talk to. Now you'll be forced to remember me in the Holy Eucharist, to speak with me." And then the priest, as he told this story, it was a very touching story. It says that as he was relating this story, he started to weep a little bit. And he says, "Ever since that day, he and our Lord have been good friends ever since. But if you want a good way to keep your baptismal robes clean and stay free of sin, it's visiting with this divine friend, because he's with you all days. Make good use of his friendship. He will protect you, but you have to go to him and tell him all of your problems and all of your temptations, and he will indeed give you all of the graces you need to overcome them and to keep your robes spotless. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.